last verse again, huh?
Oh, she wants to sing. She wants to sing.
Huh?
You, that's a good place to be. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And even when the Lord comes back, so come Lord Jesus, as John the Revelator wrote it. Praise the Lord. It's a good place to be. Just before the message, Alicia Smith is going to come and share with us this morning.
Down. Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and for me. Down the Via Dolorosa, the way to Calvary. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way to the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Jesus had walked a lot of rough miles, but I think from the garden, from there on, I think was some rough walking down the Via Dolorosa. Well, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me this morning, Proverbs chapter 13. I want to read a verse there, but also want to read a verse out of Luke chapter 24, verse 21, if you want to find your place there also. We sung the song, "It Is Well." I made the statement, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be in life. And you don't have to worry about situations and things that you have to take care of if things get bad. It's already taken care of. It's a good place to be. Horatio Spafford wrote this song, and his family was going on. He was going to England, I think it was, and his family had gone on, and during the trip, the ship sunk, and he lost his family. And he was going on later, and when he got in that same area, and they told him, they said, "We believe that this is the area where the ship went down with your daughters on it." Maybe his wife also, I can't remember, I know the daughters. And he looked over and he looked in the waters and the rough waters, and the words of this song come to his mind. "Though the billows and the waves roll, it's well with my soul. No matter what comes my way, it was well," is what he was saying. "It's well with my soul." Even later on in the song, when Jesus comes back, You know, so often, and when I can remember when I was younger and I wasn't living like I ought to, I was sure hoping that I knew he was coming back, and I was sure hoping I'd have time to get things straight when he come back, that there'd be some kind of a sign, but I don't think it's going to be that way. But I had it in my mind, I wanted things well when he come. And boy, I tell you this morning that it's a good place to live when things is well with your soul, with the Lord. And if you would stand with me. Proverbs 13 and verse 12, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred or hope delayed maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Would turn with me to Luke chapter 24 and verse 21. Luke 24 and verse 21. The Bible says, of course, this was the two disciples that was walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus had said, what things? What's going on? They were talking about what had happened, and Jesus had been crucified, and now the tomb was found empty. And Jesus asked them, and he was walking along. They didn't know who he was. And he said, what things? What are you talking about? And they started to tell him what had happened, and they said, but in verse 21, but we trusted. Or that could be also translated into we hoped. That it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace. Lord, I'm so thankful to be able to call upon you. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the blessed hope that lies within us. Lord, I'm thankful that the hope that you give. And Father, I pray today that you would touch our hearts today, and God, you'd challenge us in this message. Lord, send your sweet spirit to do the work that you would have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to share with you this morning what Christ means to hope. What Jesus means to hope. On the farm, its real title is a rotary cutter. It goes behind a tractor and cuts weeds and thistles. Some of you may not know exactly what I'm talking about, but if I call it by the original brand, a bush hog. We think a rotary cutter don't ring a bell, but a bush hog, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's what Jesus is to hope. Hope, you don't think a whole lot, and kind of like that rotary cutter, but boy, when you put Jesus in the mix, hope has all the difference in the world. Another one is a skid steer loader. Some of you looking at me strange there. You don't really know what I'm talking about. It's a bobcat. Now you know what I'm talking about. When you put Jesus in it, we understand more of what hope means. Without him, there is no hope. Without him, there is no other way. And see, so often many Christians believe that hope is wishing for something that we're never going to get. I'm afraid that we've tagged hope like that, and it's a, well,
Boy, we sure hope so. It's a longing of something that we really want and we would really like to get. But Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And hope here is to expect and to trust, not just a maybe, but an expecting trust of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so that this morning when I'm speaking of hope, but I'm not speaking of something that we are hoping for, that we might get, I'm talking of something that you can expect. I'm telling you, that's something that you can trust in, you can cling to, and you can rely upon. The Bible says in Hebrews, let me turn over there, Hebrews chapter 9, or chapter 6, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What does an anchor do? And both sure and steadfast, and which it entereth into that within the veil. The hope is the anchor of our soul that's steadfast and sure this morning. And it's what we have got our hope in. I want to read a quote, it's really a definition of discouragement. Discouragement is the anesthetic the devil uses on a person just before he reaches in and carves out his heart. And I believe that's right. When we lose hope, we lose our ability to dream. When we lose hope, where despair replaces joy. Fear replaces faith. Anxiety replaces prayer. Insecurity replaces confidence. And tomorrow's dreams are replaced by nightmares. That is a sad place to be with no hope. In discouragement. In Luke chapter 24, verse 21 that I read, they said we had trusted or we had hoped that he would be the Messiah, that he would be the one that would deliver Israel. This is what we had trusted in. And the word is the word that means expectation. They had fully trusted 100% that Jesus was the one, and now he was gone. Oh, they was in sad shape. I mean, they'd had the rug jerked out from underneath them, and they didn't understand everything that was coming about and what this meant. And see, their hope, as I read in Proverbs, their hope had been deferred. Their hope had been delayed. Now they were sick. Now they was discouraged. Now there was sorrow. Now there was a lot of things, a lot of emotions running. Could you imagine that walk back? They didn't have a clue what was going on. We had trusted in Jesus and now he's gone. I want to ask you this morning before we go into the message. Of course, I'm still in the introduction, but before we get into the message, I want to ask you, where is your hope this morning? What is it you're clinging to? What is it that you're relying and banking on? Is it retirement? Is it health? If I can just stay healthy. Is it finances? Is it that job? Is it that mate? Is it your children? Is it your parents? Lord help us all. Is it the government? I'm not going to get political. See, they were at a bad place. What is our expectation? What is it that you want in life? What is it that you expect in the latter years of your life? Where is it that you hope to be 5 years from now? Where is it you want to be 3 years from now? Where is it you want to be 20 years from now? Of course, most of us will probably be in glory by then, in eternity, but we got a plan like we're going to live on and on and on. Brother Harvey, a 92-year-old, and his wife told me yesterday, he said he thought he'd die in his 70s. He just kept going. I'm telling you, that's a jewel. I wish you all knew him. I'd like to have him here. But see, they said we was hoping he was the prophet. I want us to take a few minutes and look. And this I started. I got up early the other morning and I was having thoughts. And Rhonda said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "If I don't write this down, I'll forget it." So I went and I had my outline in just a few minutes. And it's going to be a series that you're getting the first point of it. But the title of the message or this series is What Christ Means to Our Hope. And I want us to look this morning what Christ means to hope. There's a song that I love. And how many of y'all ever heard Crowder? Heard of Crowder? Probably one of the best songwriters that I've ever known. You know? And a lot of some folks not real crazy about his music, but I'm telling you, this song right here resonates with me so much. "It's All My Hope" is the title of the song. And I'll read you the chorus. "All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood." Boy, I'm telling you, there's a good place to live, folks. There's a place to be this morning. All my hope is in Jesus. All my yesterday, where I messed up and failed, and all that stuff's gone, I don't have to give an account for that anymore. Glory, hallelujah. My sins are being forgiven, and I'm covered with His blood. Woo, glory, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that gets this old boy excited this morning. I've got hope is what I'm saying. I've got hope, and I'm expecting Jesus to come and get me one day. And it's a sure, fast, stand and sure hope that's anchored. Praise the name of the Lord. I know I'm a nut, but it's not that I'm a nut. It's because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Woo, glory. I don't even know if I can preach. I'm so tore up right now. First thing I want to look, Jesus is the source of our hope. He is our source. In Luke 24 and verse 27, the Bible says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto him in the scriptures the things concerning Himself." He said, "You want hope? Let me tell you where your hope is." And He started back at Moses. All the things Moses said and all the things the prophet said. The Bible says in Psalm 40, I believe it is, and it says, in the volume of the book, it is written. He quotes it over in Hebrews, and in a volume of the book, it's all about me. You start in page one and you get to the last page, and every page in between is all about Jesus. It's pointing to Him. It talks about who He was, who He is, and who He's going to be, and who He'll be forevermore. And at the very end of the book, it's Him being with Him in forever. Glory, hallelujah. Now there's a hope. See, He is the source of our hope. Christ is a solid rock in Psalm 40 and verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. Boy, I'm here to tell you, this is prophetic, and a lot of them will use it of Jesus in this. But I'm telling you, I think maybe David was talking about himself this time. I tell you, and I sure can see it with me, that he brought me up out of that horrible pit. He brought me out of a situation where I didn't have no hope. He brought me when I didn't know what my future was going to be. He brought me when I was worried about if I got killed in a car wreck, would my sins be under the blood? Would I make it to heaven? Would I have enough time to say that prayer? Would I be able to get things right, right at the last minute? Well, bless God, I don't have to worry about that no more. Amen. Praise the Lord, I nailed that down, and I know that I know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven this morning. Glory, hallelujah. See, he brought me out of that pit of no hope, that pit of despair, that pit of anxiety. He pulled me right out of there. Glory, hallelujah. He also said he brought me out of the miry clay. See, in the miry clay, kind of a picture of a whale or something. There ain't no rock in it. You can't get no foot. You be in the mud. You be, I think, a quicksand. And if you ever watch Gilligan Island, you'll know what quicksand is. I think of that quicksand. The more you fight, the more you sink. He said he brought me out of that pit. He brought me out of that quicksand. And he set my feet on the rock. Praise the Lord. I got some footing. I got somewhere to stand now. I got something I can cling to. I got something I can trust in. When you put a foundation around the building, you want to dig it wide. Put plenty of concrete in it because you want it to be there. Boy, that's what Jesus is this morning. He is the rock of our soul. He is the hope of our salvation. He's everything. The Bible says there in this verse is also that he established my goings. He fixed my steps. When I was wandering around and didn't know where I was going, when I was astray, when I was going away, now the Bible said there, he fixed my steps. He has established my goings. He's got me a path to take. He's laid it out and I can know where I'm going. Praise the Lord. He maketh me to lie in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, see, Jesus is the source of our hope. He's our solid rock. Also, not only is our solid rock, he is the source of our hope in 62:2 Psalm. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He, and I like this, he only. Never had no, I'd read that verse, read it, but it just jumped out. He only is my salvation. The rock of my salvation. It's only him. David knew it way back there. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his work on Mount Calvary. It don't know. And if we've got hope and we got faith in anything else other than Jesus Christ, we hope that we're going to get to heaven on how good we are. We hope we do more good than we do bad. It don't work that way. If we have sinned one time, we're condemned to hell. You might say, well, God's not just. God is just. He's a just God, and he is so righteous and so holy and so just. That is why he cannot allow sin to come into heaven. Boy, Miss Donna, didn't she do a good job on the sign? He loves you so too much to leave you like you are. Amen. Ain't you glad of that? I wouldn't want to spend eternity like his. I'm glad he's got far greater hopes. I'm glad he's got far greater things in mind for us. He is our supplied source. In Exodus 17, verse 6, the Bible said, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Oreb, and there shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink, and Moses also in the sight of the elders of Israel. God directed Moses to the rock and to give them drink. And 1 Corinthians 10:14 refers back to that same time and says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Even in the wilderness, when they were wandering, Christ was with them. He was the rock that they drank out of. He supplied their needs. Could you imagine being thirsty? Could you imagine being hungry and all those folks going, and he supplied everything that they had need of? I'm telling you, this morning, he'll supply your needs. He's the source that supplies us. He gives us everything we need. That song, and I don't know, I'm hung on songs this morning. He's a chain breaker. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. You lost, he's a way maker. He's a prison shaking savior in one part of that song. Man, oh life, I get excited sometimes I hear that. You got chains, he's your chain breaker. You lost, he's a way maker. Praise the name of the Lord this morning. I don't know if I've said it yet, but I want to go ahead and clarify this right now. There is no other way other than Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's the only way. You're not going to make it without him. I just want to throw that in. It'll cost you nothing else. In Revelation 22:17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Come, and let him that is thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you what, ain't nothing like a good drink of water on a hot day, are they? Ain't nothing like a good old drink, a dose of salvation, a good of what Jesus has done to our lives. I tell you what, Rhonda and I, before we got in church, we did all right. We enjoyed each other. We didn't fight no more than anybody else, anything else. And we got along pretty good. But I'm telling you, when we started drinking from the fountain, we started drawing water, the water of life, we started drinking out of that well. I'm telling you, things got a whole lot better. Boy, you're talking about refreshing. You're talking about good. You're talking about satisfying. I like it when something's... You ever drink something that don't satisfy you? You could drink it and you're so thirsty. This, for me, that just happens to be Diet Coke, but... Gary gets on me and says that's poison that I'm drinking. But there's nothing will satisfy you like water. When you're thirsty, water will do the trick. And if you need a Savior, Jesus will do the supply. He'll be the trick. He'll do whatever it is that you're in need of this morning. He is our source of water of life. Then I want to look at, he is our source of protection and stability. Matthew 7:24-25, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Praise the Lord. Of course, we know the other one is, it was founded upon the sand, and it fell when the storms come. You ever stand at the beach? Most of us has probably been to the beach a time or two. If you get right at the edge where the water, it's done broke, and it comes in, and then it goes back out, and you get there, and that water comes in, then it goes, and you stand there for a while, it won't be long. All that sand is washed out from under your feet, and you start sinking. I mean, we're not going to stand there long enough to sink, but it comes, and with time, it keeps washing and eroding that sand out from underneath you. See, it's the same way in life. That's what Jesus likened this story into. He says, without that foundation, without that rock, this sand, it's going to erode and it's going to come in and it's going to eat away and cut that dirt and cut your footing away and you don't even know it's happening. And then one day, the big one's going to come. Then one day, the big storm's going to hit. And that footing's gone. And the house will fall flat, is what he said. And the fall thereof is great. And see, that is what, when we put our hope or our faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, it erodes away. Then there'll be a time that we'll be hit. And our hopes will fall. Forever. But with Christ, the rock. I like back in verse chapter 62 of Psalm, he says, He only is the rock, my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. When we have that foundation, the sand don't erode out from underneath it. It don't carry it away and it'll hold the corners of the building up. How many knows and realizes your strength comes in your corners? The cornerstone, which has been made the headstone. It's that foundation. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, the Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And I want to, this is the last point. I figured that'd get a good shout and amen through the crowd. But I told Rhonda this morning, a wretch over in Sunday school class, Tim said, "I got one more point." I said, "He's starting to sound like a preacher." There is no other source. There is nothing else. There is no plan B. Jesus is the only source that we have. Nothing else will stand in the judgment. Without him as your lawyer. There's one thing that's for sure. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die. Well, two things is for sure. We're going to die. And we're going to stand before judgment. When we stand in front of Almighty God that has never made a mistake, that is so righteous and so holy that they lay on the round the throne day and night praising him and worshiping him because he is so holy. And we're going to stand before him one day. I sure, the Bible says he's their advocate. I sure want my lawyer with me. I don't want to stand there on my own merits. I don't want to stand there in what, because if I can't, and I'd say, I'm not asking this morning, but I'd say that there's not anybody in here who could say, I've kept all, just the top 10. I've kept all 10 of them. I doubt if anybody in here could say that. We've messed up somewhere. And if you mess up one time, you're guilty of the whole thing. So I sure don't want to stand in my merits when I stand before God. I want Jesus over here beside me. And the devil is going to be the accuser. And he's going to say, he done this, he done that, he done this, he done that. I'll look at my attorney. He'll say, yeah, he did. He's guilty. But I take his punishment. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. I've already paid the price. It's been settled. I settled it when I went up the Via Dolorosa. when I went to Mount Calvary. I settled it right then. I took his pain. I took his punishment. I took his hell. And now he gets to go into heaven with eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Wow, glory. I don't know about you. That ought to get us excited this morning. And I sure don't want to stand in that judgment without my lawyer. Praise his holy name. I told you I was hung up on songs this morning. I wish I could sing. I'd sing them to you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now I want to, I'm real close to finishing this thing up. I've told you that he is our only source of hope and salvation. But I want to share this a couple more. See, he's also our source of peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace in the storm. The peace when we lay our head on the pillow at night. He's our joy. He's our source of joy. Or the joy that you can't explain, unspeakable and full of joy. I'm so glad. I'm not saying we're always happy, but deep down inside there's that joy of knowing that we have hope of eternal life. That'll bring a smile to your face, even in the hard times. He's our burden barrier. He's a source of our burden bearer. He's our source. He's our banker. And I like 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for our cares. You got needs, you got troubles, you got trials, you got cares. He is the one to go to. If he cares for the sparrow, the Bible says in the Gospels that not a sparrow will hit the ground that he don't know about it. If he cares about a little sparrow, what in the world do you think how much do you think he cares for us? He didn't send his only begotten son to the earth to die for a sparrow. But he did me. And he did you. Praise the Lord. I think Jesus has got a lot to do with hope, don't you? That makes it a total different word. A rotary cutter wouldn't be a road cutter if it didn't have bush hog on it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. And we're so thankful of the hope that lies within us as believers. Lord, I thank you for the hope that is an anchor to our souls, steadfast and sure, not going anywhere. Lord, we praise you for that. And Father, I ask you today that you'd look upon this congregation with your infinite wisdom and mercy. Lord, did I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be so strong. Lord, that you would move in a special way this morning. And Father, that you look upon our needs, and you're the source of everything we're lacking. We may not have the peace this morning. We may not have the joy we need this morning. We may be in need of a banker. We may be in need of someone just to carry our burdens. Lord, there may be some that's in need of salvation. It's never called upon you. Can't say for sure that ready to go to heaven or not. Lord, I pray for those Lord, that you would move upon the hearts. And God, you'd have your way in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.